1 Kings chapter number 19 tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 19. We last time saw how the Lord had sent Elijah to anoint the plowboy, is what I call him, Elisha, as a prophet who would eventually be Elijah's replacement. We said there are three important things about this, that no one is irreplaceable in the ministry. Elisha was going to take Elijah's place. And there comes a time that we all will be replaced. Amen. The Lord tarries is coming. Someone's going to replace me one day here in the ministry of our church. I look forward to going home in the rapture and trust that we'll all be taken out of here together. Would that be great? And leave this old building behind for someone to use during the tribulation period or for whatever. But we as the church, looking forward to the Lord coming back, looking forward to the time of the rapture when we're taken out of this weary world. So no one's irreplaceable in the ministry. Another thing we looked at is that the Lord is the one that does the calling, not man. We saw how the Lord told Elijah that Elisha was the replacement and that he was to anoint him to be in his place. And then we said the Lord is the one that determines when one's ministry is over. Elijah had the idea earlier in this chapter that his ministry was done for and he was ready for the Lord to take him home. But the Lord still got a number of years to use him to train Elisha. Elijah spent 10 years training Elisha, with Elisha ministering to Elijah and the two of them ministering for the Lord alongside each other. And from what we see in Scripture, the prophet Elijah's recorded ministry was about 13 and a half years, while the prophet Elisha served the Lord at least 64 years. Elisha was anointed 5 years before King Ahab died. He served through King Ahaziah's 2-year reign. He served through King Jehoram's 12-year reign. He served through King Jehu's 28-year reign. He served through King Jehoahaz's 17-year reign. He served through King Joash's reign for 16 years, and then he died during the reign of Joash. That's a long time being in the ministry, 64 years. All of that stemmed from the call of God upon Elisha's life that we see here in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's read the verse 19 through the end of the chapter. So he, talking about Elijah, he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So this is part two of Elijah and Elisha. And first thing I want us to see is we see Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. That's where we left off at. He, there in the latter part of verse number 19, we took a look at the first part of verse 19. But that last thing, when Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, we see Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. When the cloak or mantle was the large outer garment or cape that was worn in that day, and it could serve a number of different purposes. It was used, number one, for protection against the hot sun and sometimes the frigid desert nights. It was used for a pillow sometimes. It was used for a place to sit sometimes. It was used for packing. Supplies sometimes were wrapped up in it. In certain instances, one could indicate pain or plight with it. When the mantle was torn into shreds, it was an indication of grief, deep grief. But what we see here, the tossing of the cloak over the shoulder of another indicated a transfer of power or position. Elijah did this to Elisha, and it is apparent from Elisha's reaction that he knew what this meant. It meant that the Lord had shown the prophet Elijah that he had chosen him to be a prophet in his place. We see, second of all, we see Elisha's devotion to his parents there in verse number 20. It says, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." Elisha left his oxen, runs after Elijah, and you know, we see some enthusiasm and excitement here and zeal as he ran after Elijah, requesting that he might kiss his parents farewell and then follow Elijah. Now, Elisha's response was immediate obedience and submission. I like that. When the Lord calls us to do something, that should be our response too. The response of Elijah to Elisha was, "What have I done to thee?" In other words, Elijah was basically saying to Elisha, "This is between you and God, Elisha. I'm not forcing you into service. You make up your own mind. Do what you think you need to do." Listen, when it comes to serving God and answering His call, we're not puppets. We can choose to obey or we can choose to resist. I recommend choosing to obey. The Lord knows what's best for each of us, doesn't He? He really does. We'll see here in a minute, Elisha was willing to burn his bridges behind him. He was willing to cut his ties to his parents. And following Elijah and the Lord's will for his life, Elisha was saying goodbye to wealth and comfort. Comfort and wealth happen to be two main reasons why many believers spurn the call of the Lord in their life. In Luke chapter number 9, verse number 59 through 62, we find a similar incident with different results. Look at Luke chapter number 9 with me. Luke chapter number 9, and let's take a look at verses 59 through 62. Here in verse 59, the Lord Jesus said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead. And go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." There in verses 59 and 60, we find an excuse of indefinite delay. This fellow's father was not dead yet. He did not want to leave home until his father died and he received his inheritance. That could take as long as 30 to 40 years. He was not truly ready to follow the Lord. And verses 61 and 62, Jesus knew the heart of the young man here that he spoke these words to, and it might seem kind of harsh, but he knew the young man's heart and he rebuked him. Elisha's attitude, though, was much different. He just wanted to express love and gratefulness and consideration for his parents as he broke away to serve the Lord. And that's a good thing. Amen. A third thing we see here, found in verse number 21 of our text, is we see Elisha burning his bridges, so to speak. I think you're familiar with that term, burning your bridges. It means you have no intent of going back to that old thing. You burn the bridges, you can't go back over them, can you? We see there in verse number 21, Elisha doing that very thing. He says in verse number 21, "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Now, Elisha took one yoke of the oxen, probably the oxen he was plowing with, and boiled their meat using the wooden portion of his tools, of the plows and the yoke, no doubt. I don't know what boiled oxen tastes like, but nevertheless, it must have been a pretty good meal. He destroyed his tools and the beasts that he used to plow with. And it says that he fed some of the people with the meat. And apparently Elisha gave himself a going away party of some sort here to celebrate God's calling in his life and to say goodbye to his friends and family. And then he followed and ministered to Elijah. Elisha was not ashamed for others to know about God's calling in his life. You know, it's difficult to follow the Lord's will without others knowing about it. There's no such thing in as the secret service and the Lord's work. I heard an illustration one time. The little boy was had him a mutt for a dog. You could look at the mutt and you couldn't tell what kind of dog he was. And some man approached him and said, "Son, what kind of dog you got there?" And he says, "This is a police dog." And the fellow said, "Well, it doesn't look much like a police dog to me." He said, "Well, he's in the Secret Service." Well, you know, there's a lot of believers that don't look much like they are doing anything for the Lord. They don't look much like Christians. But listen, the Lord wants us not in secret service. The Lord wants us in full-blown service for Him. Amen. He wants us to not be ashamed of Him, not be ashamed to work and labor for Him. Matthew 10, verse 32 through 33 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching here, and he talked about how we are to be and with the light that has been given to us. And in Matthew 5, verse number 14, he told this group he was preaching to, which included his disciples. And he says, "Ye are the light of the world," there in verse 14, Matthew 5, 14. "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, that's not secret service, is it? Not at all. Jesus said, "Let your light shine, so shine before men." Let's talk about this matter of commitment that we see here in Elisha. You know, when you kill your ox and boil him with the wood of your plow, that is commitment that says, "I'm no longer a plowboy. I am the Lord's boy." And when I was a boy, I used to go swimming frequently, and I went swimming periodically on Jekyll Island, right there off the coast of my hometown in Brunswick, on a place they had there on Jekyll Island called the Aquarama. And it had an Olympic-sized pool that had a diving board that had a lot of spring in it. I used to love to watch folks dive off of it. It was a magnificent thing to behold. Now, me and heights don't get along real well. But I decided one day that I was going to overcome my fears and climb up there and jump off that high diving board. When I climbed that ladder, I was not demonstrating commitment. When I walked to the edge of the diving board, I wasn't demonstrating commitment. Commitment came when I actually jumped off the board. There was no room for return or retreat. And on the way down, I can tell you that I did have second thoughts about it. But it was too late at that point, because when I came off that board, I was committed to hitting the water below, and I did hit it, and I hit it hard. Listen, God wants total commitment from us. He wants us to burn our bridges with no turning back. Look at Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, we see Jesus' confrontation with the rich young ruler. Luke 18, and we begin reading with verse number 18, Luke 18, 18. And it says here, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Now, I don't know about that. You know, in this guy's mind, he was a pretty good law abider. But when we take a look at ourselves, we understand the background behind these commandments that, you know, killing someone includes more than just killing them. You can hate someone, and you're actually killing them in your mind. We know that this fella probably did not live up to the spirit of the commandments, but just take it that he did. In verse 22, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. What was that one thing? That one thing was commitment. That one thing was being obedient to what Jesus wanted him to do. Now, this had nothing to do with the salvation. His lack of commitment did, but not the selling of all that he had. Christ didn't require us to sell all that we have in order to be saved and distribute it to the poor. That's not what Jesus was getting at here. Jesus was wanting this young man to recognize in his own heart his lack of commitment, and that really the things that he had was his God. He wasn't looking to Jesus as being his Lord. He called him good master, but he really was not looking at Jesus as being his Lord. Verse number 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich there. Listen, the Lord calls us to sacrifice some things here sometimes. And there can be no effective service without some sacrifice. Bottom line, though, you will not be effective for the Lord if you are not totally committed to Him. When times get tough, when the pressure is on, when people hurt or betray you, and you're deeply discouraged, your commitment to Christ will help see you through and keep you steadfast for the Lord. Many believers, though, are ineffective and powerless because they are unwilling to fully commit their lives to the Lord. There's usually something that they hold on to that keeps them from fully committing to the Lord. They're unwilling to sacrifice, to surrender their lives to the will of God, or to be uncomfortable. Hudson Taylor said this. He said, God's looking for wicks to burn. The oil and the fire come free. The question is, are we willing to become a wick and burn for the Lord Jesus Christ? He provides the oil, as a symbol of the Holy Ghost, and the fire, also a symbol of the Holy Ghost. The oil and the fire come from the Lord, but He wants us to be the wicks. And the question is, are we willing to become a wick and burn for the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Listen, we should be willing to burn our bridges in order to go forward for God. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 14, 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Listen, those who surrender their lives and burn their bridges will be rewarded by the Lord. In Luke 18, verse 29 through 30, Jesus said, He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manyfold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. You know, you're not going to outgive God. You may have to give up some things here in this life, but I can assure you that the Lord will take and richly reward your life, not just now, but also throughout eternity. Living our life for Christ is a great privilege and opportunity for us to express our love for Him. Listen, a true sacrifice is the thrill of giving and yielding the best we have to the one that we love the most. We're not doing God a favor by serving Him. He did us a favor by calling us to serve Him. I like the way Paul put it in 1 Timothy 1:12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He recognized the one who put him in the ministry and the one by which he got his enablement, but the one also who had counted him faithful by putting him in the ministry. And we see Elisha being put in the ministry by the Lord. And then I want you to see, fourthly, we see Elisha become Elijah's minister. There in our text, in verse number 21, we see Elijah's first responsibility was to minister to Elijah. It says there in the latter part of the verse, "Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Here he ministers to Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. And the things that he did for Elijah, some would say were probably functions of a slave. I mean, whatever Elijah needed doing, whatever Elijah requested, that was what Elijah was willing to do. In fact, that word ministered means to attend as a menial, or like a servant, as a slave. I like the way that Paul talks about how servants are to be. Now, he's talking about servants in the flesh. But listen, you know, our service ought to be this way also toward the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8, and you'll find a parallel passage of this in the book of Colossians also. But here in Ephesians 6, verse number 5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Listen, character and humility are developed by starting low and working up to greater responsibilities. I mean, Elisha wasn't going to start at the top here. Yes, Elijah cast the mantle there, but there was some learning that needed to be done before he was ready to replace Elijah. In fact, there were 10 years of learning that we will see. In God's kingdom, the way up is down. I like these verses that talk about humility. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Proverbs 22, verse 4 tells us that it's by humility and the fear of the Lord that riches and honor and life come. James 4, 6 says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Humble yourselves, in this verse number 10, James 4, 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up." Listen, if one wants to be in a place of authority, and you be used of God in a place of authority, you must first learn to submit to authority placed over them. The question is, are we willing to serve the Lord and to submit to His will for our life? Now, Elisha was. Elisha was quick to follow Elijah. He understood that this call didn't really come from Elijah. This call came from the Lord. And he presented himself to Elijah. As he was doing that, he was presenting himself to the Lord as a servant. And he learned how to be a great servant, and he became a great prophet for God. And we'll see that in the coming days. That's our Bible study for this evening. Trust is a blessing to you. Our prayers are with you during this time. We pray that the Lord will use this time for you to draw close to Him. I know we're all tired of being cooped up inside and being away from our church and being away from being able to assemble together. But let me encourage you, don't get distant from the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer before Him. Be used of God during this time. And you say, well, I can't go anywhere. Well, get on the phone. Call. Be an encouragement to somebody. Check on someone. If the Lord lays someone on your heart to check on, be quick to do that. You can find, if you want to serve the Lord during this time, I can assure you, the Lord will give you a place to find how to serve Him. So let's end in prayer tonight and ask the Lord to meet our needs. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your great love for us. We thank You for counting us faithful and, Lord, using us when we are, Lord, just sinners saved by You. You made us what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are what we are by Your grace. And Lord, help us to realize that it's by grace that we're saved, but it's by grace also that we serve. And Lord, we're going to see, just as Your grace was upon Elijah, Your grace is going to be in a mighty way upon Elisha. And Lord, just as You use these two men of God, You can use each one of us. Now, You might not use us to be a man of God, but You can use us. And we will submit ourselves to You. You have a will for each of our lives. And Lord, even during a time such as this that we're going through in our nation and in our church, and Lord, we're being called on to do things that are not really comfortable, and it just doesn't make sense. We're having trouble making sense out of all the stuff that we have been asked to do. And of what we are being asked to do, we want to rebel toward. Lord, help us to realize that we need to submit ourselves first unto You. And Lord, that if we look to You and submit ourselves unto You, Lord, that You will help us during this time. And Lord, just give us Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, help us to be helpful to others. As You minister to us, help us to minister to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.